Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Maybe while you're still standing here, I'm going to invite Julia to come up here as well, because we have something for you, okay? And I just think this is kind of a family moment, so why not do it all together? As you know, Julia has been just a wonderful young woman of God that God has done some amazing things in her life. And for some time, we had an evening gathering here, and Julia was a big part of that. If you ever wanted a cup of coffee or lemonade or something, Julia was the girl who did that, and many of you were welcomed by Julia, even Sunday mornings. And so, Julia, we have a little gift that we've wanted to give to you, and in there is the one and only famous CPC apron. And so this is for you, Julia, and so we bless you. And we love you, and thank you very much. All right. God bless you guys.
Thank you.
I'm going to say more about this later, and we're taking some time right now. As you, many of you know, this is our second last Sunday here at CPC, and it's a little bit surreal. But one of the things that I'll share more about this is we really want to honor you as a church, and in a little while we're going to acknowledge some of the folks who have been part of CPC for many years, and today we're going to focus a little bit on some of the people that were actually with us when we began 20 years ago, people who actually took a risk and invited us to come as your pastor, and I'll say more about that. But there's two ladies in our church who have been very significant ladies in my life. Obviously, my wife is number one, right? But there's been a couple of others who have had a very meaningful role in our lives, for Barb and I, and long-term staff people here at our church. And I'm going to invite Lena Russell, if she will come to the platform, and Sandy Saunders, if you two ladies will come, all right? Come on up here, gals. Now, some of you maybe don't know who these people are, but so 20 years ago when I arrived, on my very first day in the office, there was this gal sitting at the desk who had just been hired, and it was Lena Russell. And so for the next 10 years, she had to put up with me. And she served here at CPC in our office, and for 10 years she was a major part of my life, and helping me get orientated, and just she had a very significant role in those early days of our ministry here at CPC. And then we were just talking the other day, Sandy, we were just sharing a little bit, and it never really hit me that Sandy has also been here 10 years, and so I thought, what a great opportunity to celebrate the first 10 years and then the second 10 years. And so Sandy just kind of took the baton from Lena. And Sandy, with her gifts and her abilities and multiple hats, Sandy's just been amazing. And you as a church have been blessed by these two women over the last 20 years. Sandy, or Lena, the first 10, and now Sandy, the last 10. And Barb and I, we just wanted to honor you guys, as well as our church. We want to honor you and thank you for your ministry and your very different gifts, but how God has used them at very specific times in our church. Lena just shared a little story with me that was really, and it just brought back a bit of a memory, and this is a little bit of Lena's heart. There was this lady who came into our office one morning, and she would often come by, and she was she struggled. She had all kinds of challenges and adversity and wasn't maybe the easiest person to deal with. But this one particular day, you could tell she was very broken and in need. And I just gave a little nod to Lena. And all Lena, she saw my eye, and right away Lena began to minister to her. And the interesting thing is, it was just a short time later, this lady came back and she had given her heart to Jesus. And just transformed, yeah. And these are the kind of people that serve behind the scenes. And so, Lane, I want to thank you. And we've got some flowers for you guys. We picked them up. There were some leftovers from the royal wedding yesterday. And so, yeah, God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Why don't you, let's stand. Let's give them a standing ovation, these guys. These guys are awesome. Yeah. You may be seated. That's awesome. All right, we're going to do a little more of this later, but thanks for taking some time with us. We're going to invite our ushers to get ready for our morning tithes and offering. Maybe while you're getting your tithes and offering ready, I'm going to invite Calvin Farnell, who is the chairman of our pastoral search committee. Again, it's been an honor to be able to kind of serve behind the scenes, watching these guys minister and do their job. And while I have not been privy to most of the conversations, I've been in the dark like you guys have been, I know that their heart has been amazing, and they've been trusting God through this whole pastoral search process. So Calvin, come, and he's got some things to share with us today.
Morning. What a morning. Lots happening. It's great. I have a couple announcements I'd like to share and make with everyone this morning. This past Monday, our pastoral search committee met. As you know, we've been meeting quite often, pretty much weekly for the last couple months. And I have a short list. And last Monday evening, we unanimously agreed to invite a candidate to come to Comox Pentecostal Church as our lead pastor. And this candidate has accepted the invitation. For some of you, it could be a foreign term. It was to me, but within our denomination and our circles, it's called coming to preach the call. So June 2nd and 3rd will be the weekend that this candidate comes to preach the call. And so we're excited about that, and we hope that you're excited about that too. And we hope that that excitement allows you to attend some important things that will be happening that weekend. I'll go over the schedule in a minute. So that's the first announcement. The second announcement is to give advance notice of a special call business meeting of Comox Pentecostal Church. That will happen on Sunday, June the 3rd, at approximately 12:15 after the morning service. The purpose of that meeting will be for the membership of Comox Pentecostal Church to vote on ratifying the decision of both the Pastoral Search Committee and the Leadership Council for this candidate to be our lead pastor. So that'll take place down in the hall. But the evening before that, on Saturday night, we will have what's called the town hall meeting, part of that weekend, where the candidate will be present with his wife and two kids. And our district superintendent, Ken Russell, will be there, and he'll moderate that meeting. He'll start, of course, with food. We're going to have a potluck dinner together. That's going to start at 5:30, and dinner will be at 6. And then the town hall information meeting will start at 7 and hopefully be done by 8:30, but it'll go as long as we need it to go. And so the purpose of this meeting is for us as a congregation to meet the candidate next week. On Sunday, we will have more information on the candidate for you to take with you. We'll have it in the form of a leaflet to take out, a picture, and you can pray over that week, as well as make sure that you come on Sunday, June the 3rd, as well as the town hall meeting. I know it's a busy time, and I know some people are not able to come because of other commitments, but we would really appreciate that people would really take this, make every effort to come to this important time over the weekend. So during that town hall meeting, it'll be a time to get to know the candidate better and his wife and kids. As I said, Ken Russell will moderate, and so he gets an opportunity to just ask questions and so that we get to know the candidate a bit better. And then there'll be a question and answer time as well. So people have questions, things they would like to know, things that would help them in their decision-making. That will happen on the Saturday evening. And Sunday morning, I'm not going to just keep saying candidate. I'm going to say Pastor Chad. Pastor Chad will speak in our morning service. And then, like I said, after that, we'll have our special called meeting down in the hall where the members will get an opportunity to vote and to ratify this choice. So it's exciting. We're, as a committee, are very excited about the process and about what's happened and about what's happening. Some of you may not think I'm all that excited. I am excited. I actually had a client. We just closed a house. I work for a construction company. We just closed a house on Friday. And she said, "I have an endearing name for you." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. What is it?" She said, "I've decided to call you Spock. You will tell me with the same emotion that you really like something or that my grandmother died," in about the same tone. So I am excited. I'm looking forward to what God has for us. So, but I think the Spock thing can end fairly quickly, hopefully. But, so that's the two announcements. We will be sending out after the service, we will be sending out an email to all the members. And during the week, we'll get together with some more information and lay out an actual schedule so that people know how the weekend's going, what's happening. So pray for Pastor Chad and for his family. Pray for safe travel as they come. Pray for the leadership council as we meet with them, spend some time with them. Pray that this weekend goes according to God's plan and God's will for us as a church at CPC. So that's the two announcements that I have. If you have any questions, you're welcome to talk to me after the service. But keep in mind those dates. It's 2 weeks from now. We just got in under the wire in the way of announcing. We need to announce a specially called meeting 14 days before. So it's not quite 12:15 yet. So we did our 14 days before. So thank you.
I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles this morning just for a few moments. I want to turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And as I said earlier, with only a couple of Sundays to go, one of the questions that I've been having is, what do I talk about? I was going to say parting shots, but that's not a good word, is it? Parting thoughts would be a better choice. What are some of the things that you want me to share in these last couple of days or a couple of weeks? And so I've been praying about this, just asking the Holy Spirit, trying to hear His voice, as this last year really has been a real emphasis on wanting to hear God's voice. And I'm glad our search committee is hearing, and we're trusting that if this is God's will, that a new lead pastor will be chosen. I thought, isn't this amazing timing that this could all happen in this time? Because we, back at the end of, or in at Easter time, we felt the Lord prompting us to actually set an end date. And at that point in time, we had no idea what the future held as far as CPC was concerned. And And if this is God's will, then we just see this beautiful transition happening fairly quickly, which would be fantastic. But anyway, during this season, we have certainly been reflecting, lots of memories, lots of thoughts going through my mind. We wouldn't have time to really go into all the things that I've been thinking about. But you know, when you've been in a place for 20 years, there's a lot of things that can happen. In fact, just the other day, I was driving past Courtney Elementary School, and I had an appointment over in that area. And as I drove past, my mind went to a bench that is out in the front yard of the school under the big tree. And it's a bench marking the loss of one of their students, little 9-year-old Sammy Marquez, who was a little boy from Mexico. He had been here with his family, and that was the school he attended, and as a 9-year-old child ended up with a brain tumor. And for a number of months, as a church, we walked with that family, and then eventually Jesus took that little boy home. He's actually buried here in our cemetery here on Mission Hill. And I, through the years, we've walked through a lot of different experiences with people. We've walked in some pretty difficult times with different individuals. Some of you sitting here this morning. But, you know, it's been good to know that God's been faithful. Just going back to the Marquez family, it was a joy to be able to send them a little email on Wednesday. And I wasn't sure. I still had their email address. And occasionally I hear from them. They ended up being sent back to Mexico. They wanted to stay in Canada, but it didn't work out. And I just wanted them to know that their little boy was not forgotten. And so I took a picture of the plaque on the park bench and sent it to Seraphim and Anita and their kids that are in Mexico. And within about 20 minutes, I got an email back from Seraphim. And he just said, "Thank you, Pastor Dave." And I wanted him to know that their little boy has not been forgotten. And so as I've been kind of reflecting on today, I've got some thoughts that are coming together for next Sunday. What I want to talk today with you about for a few minutes is honor. And the Bible says in Romans 12 and verse 10, it says to honor one another's above yourselves. And I want to just read the scripture in the context of the whole context, starting at verse 9. If you have your Bibles, I think it's on the screen as well. It says, "And love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good." Let me say that again. Cling to what is good. To cling to something is to hold on to it tightly. There's some things that God wants us to cling to. There's some things that as a church, you need to cling to as you go forward. And I may say more about this next week, but things that you need to hold tightly to, things that you can't let go of if you're going to have a future, if you're going to thrive in the days ahead as a church. And here's what they were in verse 10, starting at verse 10. It says, "Be devoted to one another." How many would agree with me this morning that when it comes to what is good, being devoted to one another is a good thing? Would you agree with that this morning? That's a good thing. Be devoted to one another. And then he says, honor one another above yourselves. We need to cling to that, everybody. We need to cling to having a culture of honor, an environment where people are honored in our church. And not just those who maybe have positions of authority. While we need to do that, we need to be willing to be people who honor even people that sometimes maybe we disagree with or people that we struggle with. He goes on to say, "And never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. These are good things. These are the kind of things that we need to cling to. Love for one another, devotion for one another, honoring. Spiritual fervor is a good thing. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, having the power of the Holy Spirit upon us, that's something we need to cling to and hold on to and never let go. Serving the Lord. One of the things about this church is that it's had a high level of service, and people serve with joy. Being patient with one another. One of the things I've learned in 42 years of being a lead pastor is church life requires a lot of patience. And there's going to be a lot of patience required as you go through this season of transition. And there's going to be some hiccups. There's going to be some things that that you're going to have to come alongside and help each other through those hiccups. But I love that even this last word where he talks about being faithful in prayer. We need to cling to that. Calvin didn't mention this, but we coming up on Wednesday, May the 30th, I think I got my date correct, and it's in your bulletin. We're calling for a day of prayer here at CPC. We're calling for a time where we can set aside in your workplace or wherever a time to pray, a time to call on God, because you are facing a very, very important decision coming up only a few days after that. And so we'll say more about that next week. But we're calling. In fact, here's something interesting. The very first meeting that I walked into on a Wednesday night on May the 31st, 1998, was a prayer meeting. My very first meeting as a church, as when I came here as the lead pastor in 1998, was a prayer meeting. And there was three or four people here that night. And I walked into that environment. And I just thought, isn't that awesome that the last thing that probably that I will kind of preside over will be a day of prayer. And I want to challenge you and encourage you to even now begin to set time aside for that. And so the words that, as I mentioned earlier, that I have been drawn to in this whole scripture is that phrase in the middle where it says to honor one another above yourselves. And while you have been honoring Barb and I, and a number of ladies got together this week and honored my wife, and I want to thank you for that. The Bible says that to those, you know, to whom honor is due. And I honor my wife because she has been an incredible, rock solid part of who I am. And I thank God for her. But in this, I have felt strongly that along with what you are doing for us, we really want to honor you. That's partly why we wanted to honor people like Lena and Sandy this morning. Why is honor so important? Well, let me give you a couple of thoughts here before we get into a little further here. One of the things that happens when we honor is that life flows when we honor. There is something life-giving when there's honor. In fact, it's interesting that in the book of Exodus, one of the commandments of the Ten Commandments, one of them was honor your father and your mother. And with that, it says that the reason for it is that things may go well with you and you will live long in the land. And then there's this little tagline that says, this was the first commandment with a promise. And I think it's really interesting that there's something about honoring our parents that with that honor, the Bible says that things will go well with you and you will live long in the land. There's something life-giving about honor. Would you agree? Something that helps to strengthen relationships. Even relationships that maybe that have gone sour or relationships that have been injured or wounded. There's something about when we start to honor those people. When you honor someone that's maybe wounded you or someone that's where you've been hurt, there's something that breathes life back into that relationship. And it's something that we cannot neglect. In fact, we have to be intentional about it. We have to go out of our way to do it. And so honor is life-giving. Relationships, as I said, are strengthened, are healed, often reconciled in honor. And I believe this with all of my heart, that churches will thrive where there is honor. Churches will thrive where there is honor. Marriages will thrive where there's honor. Families will thrive where there's honor. And so, kind of as all of this was kind of, this whole honor theme was kind of percolating in my heart, and I hope it's in some ways maybe a bit of an admonition, maybe even a bit of a prophetic word to you as a church going forward, that this church will grow in honor, that as you have honored us, that you will actually excel in honor, the honor of your new lead pastor. It would bring nothing but joy in my heart to know, to think that person, that him and his wife, and I understand there's two kids, that you would honor them, that you would honor their children. Pastors' kids often carry a weight, a responsibility, or to a certain point, they're a target of the enemy. And they need to know that the church was a good place. They need to know that the church was a place that they grew up to love. And so I encourage you to don't cheap out on your honor, but look for ways and opportunities. And you have done this well with us, and I thank you. And so this morning, part of this is I want to acknowledge, and I wish I could acknowledge all of you here today publicly, but I'm just thinking of some of the people that were part of our coming 20 years ago. And you know who you are. Those of you that were here, and a number of you that are in this room even this morning, I realize it's a long weekend and some are away and so on, but there's a number of people even here today who 20 years ago, you were kind of where everyone else is sitting here today. You were in this season of pastoral transition together. And it was something that you shared, that common bond. I've just got a list here of some of the ones that I'm not sure if they're all here this morning, but we mentioned Lena Russell, people like Sharon Wennerberg. In fact, I'm going to just, those of you that were actually with us 20 years ago, that you were part of our congregation 20 years ago, if you could just all stand, okay? Just let me just see who you are here this morning. Okay? All right. And there's some back here. Brett, yeah. Yeah. That's fantastic. You can be seated. But I am just so grateful for you. These are people who, in that season of transition, back 20 years ago, these were people who actually loved and were devoted to each other. These were people who stood together. These were people who prayed, and they sought the face of God together. One of the things I've thought about is that they took a chance. They kind of risked giving an invitation to a family with four skateboard loving kids, DC talk loving kids, to come from Saskatchewan to the Comox Valley. And they didn't have social media that they could kind of snoop around on and see what they were really like. They didn't even have sermons they could go online and listen to. It was a risky business back then to invite a pastor to come to your church. In fact, in some ways, it's a good thing you never saw a lot of that stuff back then. Anyway, I want us to honor them this morning. These were people who accepted us, even with our flaws and our weaknesses. And many of you have continued to do that today, and I honor you for that. One of the things that that I shared with the congregation before they actually voted on us, because they went, you guys went through that back then. I said, before you actually vote on us, maybe people like Rick and Joanne might even remember this. I gave out a sheet of paper with about 7 or 8 different things to anticipate if you said yes to us. And one of the things I said was, I want you to understand that I will not be able to meet everyone's expectations. And, you know, because the reality is a lot of times people, you know, they want the pastor to kind of fit into their mold. They want them to fit into exactly what, you know, God has a plan for your life, and so do we, you know. And I knew right from day one that we would never be able to meet everyone's expectations. And here's the deal, you were okay with that. And I guess one of the things in my heart has been, and I know I haven't lived up to this either, but I've tried to meet God's expectations as best I can. But I want to just say I honor you for being willing to accept us through the years with our flaws and our weaknesses. And I honor people who have stuck with us. And as a church, in 20 years, you go through lots of peaks and valleys. You go through ups and downs. You go through heartache. You go through struggles. You go through financial adversity. You go through times where you sit in a council meeting and you wonder, are we going to have enough funds to pay the bills? Are we going to be able to get through this next season? We've gone through those times. And yet I can think back to the days when, I think it was in the year 2000, when we decided to take a bold step and completely renovate the balcony. And actually, I mean, on a Sunday like today, it's not as big a deal with so many people away on this long weekend. But the reality is we completely renovated the balcony. And those people in those early days made some bold and courageous decisions. There was people in this church 20 years ago who said, Dave, let's do it. Let's go for it. Let's not be cautious. And it was like there was a sense of a green light. Let's go forward. And so in a matter of 2 or 3 months, we were able to add 160 good seats into our building. We did it for like $25,000. But that was a lot of money even. And it was paid for by the time we were done. And that was a pretty significant, bold move back then. And you guys are going to have to make some bold moves going forward. I may touch more on that next week. Anyway, we could go on and on. And I just want to say, on behalf of Barb and I, we honor those who were with us in those early days. As you said yes. And we honor those of you who have joined the party ever since. And we want to thank God for you. And we celebrate you. And we recognize that behind every pastor who has even a chance to survive and make it is good people who are standing with them, praying. And I'm thinking of our missionary guests with us this morning as well. Yeah, I think you understand exactly what I'm saying. But I want to invite maybe two or three people to come to the platform right now as we close this morning. I'm going to invite Rick and Joanne, and I'm going to invite Karen Beidel. And Sharon Winterberg, I want you to come up here as well. Would you guys come? And I had also spoken to Carl Gustafson, who's now in his 80s. And his wife, Elvie, is away in Sweden right now. Come on up here, you guys. Rick, you always had a way with the ladies, so there you go. Anyway, my friend Carl, I wish I had a picture I could show you. He was here earlier this morning, but His health is struggling, and he wasn't able to quite make it through the whole service this morning. But he was on my board when we came, along with Rick, and then shortly after that, Karen Beidel also as well. I see even people like Brad White here this morning who came on to the board a little bit later on as well, and others of you this morning. But Carl was this sweet gentleman, and I'll never forget when we first came, and that, so I'm not going to get into the whole story, but I actually felt that I wasn't up to the task, the assignment. And there was in the first couple of weeks, 3 weeks or so, I thought I'd actually made a big mistake, and I was really wanting to just go back to Saskatchewan. And I remember talking to Carl Gustafson one day, and I said to Carl, I said, I never felt so weak in all of my life. And in his Swedish humor, he just looked at me and he went, "That's good. That's good." And I looked at him and I'm thinking, what's he thinking? I said, Carl, I just feel so weak. I feel helpless. And "That's good. That's good." And then he said, and I said, "Why is it good?" He said, "Because now God can use you." And Carl was always one of these guys who was very quiet, but also very strong. And he was actually at that first prayer meeting that I walked into. And I just want to say thank you. You kind of represent many others who stood here this morning. But I did have a couple of questions, because I think you've got something that maybe could be helpful for this group of people here this morning, even our search committee and our congregation who's going to be faced with another decision coming up.
We didn't know there was going to be a test.
Yes. I just want to ask you, in those days when, and like this congregation had actually gone through transition on more than over a period of 10 years, they actually went through it a few times. And so by the time I came, you had done this on a number of occasions, and you were a little bit worn down at that point. But what would you say when it came to your love and your devotion for one another as a small little group of people? What was that like for you? What kind of things did you do to help to show your support for one another as a congregation during that in-between period as a church? Anyone want to take a shot at that one?
We had Karen's father-in-law here, and he was quite the speaker. He was a big help. He was loud. He didn't need one of these. He could speak without it. And he was awesome. And they kept us going and really, really kept us strong. And as a small group, we just stuck together and loved each other and honored each other and trusted that the Lord was going to bring the right person here for us. And he did. So, yeah.
Just want to say a couple of things about Papa Joe Beidel. He blessed us. We were such a hurting congregation, and wow, he was amazing. He would just walk around the church, sorry, I'm not used to doing this, and pray continually over the building, the people that would come in here for new leadership. And he said that when he was 17 years old, the anointing fell on him, and he said, "It's never left me." And we were all so blessed, and he really led the way. And somebody said, "Can't we hire him?" And I think he was close to 80 then. So that was a big part of transition for all of us. And he's real old school Pentecostal, and so are all of us up here. And we pray for the anointing to fall here.
Preach your sister.
What we love, and Pastor Dave and Barbara are all about this too, is for when you walk into the church, there to be such a heaviness and a beauty with the Holy Spirit just being all over us that he knows what's supposed to happen that Sunday, and that we, as a Pentecostal church, which is our roots, are listening, and we're open to a change in the service, breaking into small groups for prayer, whatever he has, and we worship the Holy Spirit, and we want the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be all over here. So I think that's our biggest prayer. And once you've tasted of that, you don't want any less. Rick's parents ministered in a reserve in Saskatchewan. And the first time I experienced the Holy Spirit, sorry for all the ums, there was worshiping in Cree, there was dancing in the Spirit, there was prophecy and interpretation, and I'm like, wow. I was raised Lutheran, been in a full gospel church, but I'd never seen all this, and I'm like, I don't know what this is, but I want it. And I just pray in these times to come, that's all of our goal. That's what I wish for all of you.
Well, when Pastor Dave asked by email if I was going to be here today, because he wanted to honor some of us who have been here over the 20 years, I said, yes, but please don't make me cry. And I've told him and Barb that they're the best pastors I've ever had, and I feel like I could go to them with any problem. And when there are problems, I've learned that go to God. He knows the answer. And people can give you advice, but God knows the answer, the right one, even if we don't like it. It's the right one. So I'm looking excitedly for the change, because I know that God's in it, but I'm really going to miss you guys.
Mm-hmm. What I remember is we were a very broken people. We were solid with each other, but we had gone through so much pain. And it was like, as Joanne has adequately already said, how we made this sort of little pact to pull together. And when Pastor Dave came, he was just like a healing balm. And Barb, too, when she got here. And I remember him just saying, you know, he's not starting any new ministries. He's not going to be changing anything. He was just going to give us a time to heal. And he made himself available, just like my father-in-law did, who incidentally is 101 now, still preaching about the Lord. And he was very much about relationships, and that's what you're still doing, Pastor Dave. And that was such a major part of our healing process. He encouraged us to go and help people unpack if they were coming in, or go and help them pack if they were moving. And he also organized a roofing party at my house. And everybody came. It was such a fun day. There was laughter. There was camaraderie. And those were the kind of things that Pastor Dave was encouraging. And it was so much a part of our healing. And he continues to emphasize relationships. And so we have to remember that that is what helps build us up in the good times and in the bad times. And it brings our church family together. So if it's the person next to you you have to speak to, or if it's a small group you join, or if it's some where in the church that you can be of service. They're all points of connection, and that is my joy. And I thank you, Pastor Dave, for pushing us so hard to keep on going. And look where we are now, 20 years later, thanks to you and Barb.
And we had unity, and that's very, very important for unity in the church, and no back-talking or back-biting or anything like that always causes strife, and unity and love, that's what you mostly need, and love is another word for honor, right? So if everyone loves, it'll all be good.
Can we just all stand together and... I asked Carl, who is now almost 84, the other day, so what would you tell the congregation to do in this season of transition and preparing for a potential new lead pastor? And he didn't know about this announcement that was made today. But he said, if you ask God, he said, if you pray, ask God, he will show you what to do. And I thought that was just a simple answer. But I just want us together, we're going to commit to prayer and we're going to believe God that there will be a united voice and vote and all that kind of stuff going forward. And we just want to honor you guys as well as everyone else who was... In fact, you know, I know you didn't get to see everybody. Everyone that was part of that first days, would you come up here? Everybody. There you go. Come on up here, you guys. Barb, get a picture of all these guys. Get their good side. Come on up here. Jolene was just... I think even people like John and Jackie, John's in the sound booth. I think it might have been your first or second Sunday you just started coming. So can we just show our appreciation to these guys? Amen. And I'm gonna invite Brad White. Come over here, Brad. Brad was one of the first guys that we went out for dinner with, and because he was here by himself, I was by myself, and we hung out. But I'm gonna invite you just to lead us in a closing prayer, and let's just pray for our church as we close today. Okay? Would you do that, Brad?
Dear Lord, we just we lift you up today. We're just saying goodbye to an amazing couple who shepherded our church for the last 20 years, and we're looking forward to, with anticipation, for the next family to lead us forward into these next season. And Lord, we just we thank you so much for everything you've done within this church for the last decades that it's since its inception, and we just look forward to you and the Holy Spirit. Continuing to pour yourself into this group, this body of believers in this community, and we're just real excited about what's to come. And just guide us, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So I think we're going to just end with that, and we'll have some music playing. But before you go, just turn to the person beside you and say, "I honor you." All right? Would you do that? And bless one another as we go out today. God bless you all. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.